Psalm 1 this morning.
Does anyone need a pen? I have pens.
Yeah, you'll need a pen if you want to fill it out. You certainly don't have to. Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is one of the first verses or chapters that I ever memorized as a young man. And if you never have, it'll do you good, certainly in the battle that we all face. We're going to jump right into it, read Psalm 1 here, and then we'll explain it a little bit and then go through the notes. Verse 1 says, of course, you know, this is obviously God's word, and he starts off with this contrast between godliness, ungodliness. So if you think you're godly, you need to, you know, check and see what the word of God says about what godliness is. He says, blessed or happy, joyful is the man or woman, whoever it may be, that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And of course, you see a progression here, don't you? You see walking with counsel. You know, our day and age where we get bad counsel isn't just CNN. It could be Fox. It could be whatever. You got to be very careful where you get your information from. And then we stand with the ungodly, and then many times we sit with the ungodly. Now they need Christ. They need to know the Word, and they need to sense Christ's forgiveness. And many times they're going to see it in godly men. But we've got to be very careful that the influence of others does not negatively impact us. So we've got to be very diligent, right, men, in what we allow into our lives. Verse 2, his delight. Delight means something that brings you great joy or pleasure. His delight is the Word of God, the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. That's the first place I would push you. You may read it, but do you meditate on God's Word? It's in your bed, and you know, you've got anxiety, you've got fear, you've got lust, whatever it is. And you defeat and fight that with the Word. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree. That's why I'm bringing this up today. He shall be like a tree. Everybody wants to have influence and respect and impact our children, our wife, our church, our community. And, you know, wherever you work, you want to have an impact. But your impact will be limited. Again, if we do not take heed to the truth of God's Word and meditate on its truths, because this is God's holy Word, it's eternal truth. He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff. And that's just, you know, the outer kernel of a wheat, whatever it may be, seed, and easily blown away. Now you can see how this parallels Bobby just talking, whether it's a man in the ministry, a man ruling his life and his family. We get so turned over and upset and anxious and worried so quickly about life, COVID, whatever it may be. Why is that? It's because our meditation is not on God and his Word continually. And we can get over anxious and over stressed, and we get blown away just like chaff so quickly. Amen? I mean, we do. We get very easily disturbed. And I'm not saying doesn't happen to me and it shouldn't happen to us, because God knows, Job says, the Psalms say, we're just dust. And there's nothing special about you other than God's voice that was spoken to you that made you a living soul. And you became animated dirt because of his power. So the ungodly are not sober like chaff. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. The way of the ungodly shall perish. So a godly, steady man does these things. You got on your list there. They refuse to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or in other words, bad advice. They refuse to stand in the way of sinners, or with sinners, or bad associations. They refuse to sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, what's that mean? Well, it's mockery, that's scorning, slandering, people constantly belittling and talking about other people. Be very careful. Again, this is our norm, isn't it? I mean, we've got, you know what the word strife in the Bible is? It means literally party spirit, Democrat and Republican. That's what it means when you look it up in the Greek. It means a party spirit. I'm not getting on politics now, but we've got to be very careful that we are not always demeaning and belittling everybody. What we are all about as Christians is supposed to be promoting Christ. And not just even conservative agendas. We need to push those things, obviously, and we've got candidates and Trump and people that are certainly our guys, but we've got to promote Christ. And we've got to make sure that we don't push people away from the church and from Christians to the extent that we lose their own soul. You got to be very careful. Number four, delight in the law of the Lord. You meditate on it, you become like a tree. Got a quick 10 points, and you know, I would preach this probably for 4 or 5 weeks at my home church, Lord permitting, but I'm just going to give you some of this information because I think it, the Lord put it on my heart. I've taught this before, but just because I think this is, not I think, this is what I aspire to be, and I know this is what we should all aspire to be, is men that are solid and steady and consistent. Anybody can, you know, get the attention of people, but do you have the attention of God? Now, I want you to think about that. You think about the secret to a successful prayer life. Secret to successful prayer life is personal and private surrender. Private surrender. Who you are, you're talking about this man. All of us have sinned. We're all sinners. But your character is dictated or is who you are when you're alone. What you allow, what you think about, what... I was talking to a fellow this week, counseling him, and you know, you can't look at, you can get on Google and pull up, you know, you're looking at a pair of pliers, well, a half-naked woman will pop up right there, right? I mean, just is everywhere, and you're inundated with temptation and hypocrisy, and just, if you're not very careful, you got to be very diligent that you don't allow your thoughts and your mentality, your spiritual character to be sidelined time and time again. So 10 quick things here. Trees, if you want to be like a tree, say amen if you want to be like a tree. Amen. All right? And not easily blown away. If you want to be like a tree, well, trees turn toward the light. Right? I mean, think about that. If you were to place two seeds in two different pots, and one in a windowsill and the other in a dark closet, in a few weeks, both are going to sprout. And at first, both plants will look the same, and then the plants would begin to diverge or go in different directions. And one of the closest, one in the closet would become pale, thin, and grow in an irregular manner, and then many times die. The reason is because there's no light. But the plant in the window would begin to turn its leaves towards the sun, because trees grow toward the light in a process called phototropism. And that's a real term. It just means to turn toward the light. And that's what trees do. They try to absorb the light. Why? Because that's their nourishment. Very simple point. But listen, if you do not stay close to the light and turn toward the light, Jesus Christ, remember Jesus says, I am the light of the world. That's what he says. That's part of the verse. I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the what? Light of life. But then he says, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. We know that we don't have any real light in ourselves. We're a reflection just like the moon. But it's important, if you're going to be a tree, that you're constantly pointed toward the light. Being here this morning, easy to stay home because it's raining. But you keep gazing and you think, that's not making any difference. Well, if you're facing toward the light, Jesus Christ and his word, it's making a difference. Number two, trees put down roots. In other words, they're fixed things. They're solid things. Probably one of the biggest, disappointments I see in Christians and friends, maybe pastors or whoever, is people get to a certain point, they've loved the Lord, they've served, they've been in church, they've raised their kids, and then they get to retirement, 60, 65, 70, and then they unplug from the church. You know, they move away, or they get away, and they get out of church, and they don't do anything anymore. Guess what you just told your children and your grandchildren?
It's a job.
Well, yeah, it was just something to do. It was just something that, you know, met the need for a time. You didn't really paint to them that this is a lifelong calling for all of us. Amen, guys? I mean, you need to drive that whole deep in your mind. Yeah. Doesn't mean Bobby has to preach for the rest of his life, but you better not walk away from the Lord. Because then you, in a way, have painted a picture to the people you love that it wasn't that important. You need to keep roots down, not in the church, yes, but in Christ. And if you're going to do that, it's going to be in the church. And we see here, roots obviously speak of strength and stability. And he goes on, he says that they're planted by the rivers of water. And of course, that's the place of nourishment. And the rivers of water speaks of God's presence and God's power. You're not going to have God's power if you don't spend time with him and you're not in his presence. It's not any amount of time that makes that, but that you really, like Thessalonians 5 says, you're always in contact with him. You're praying without ceasing. It's a constant relationship. Constant meditation, contemplation. The deeper our roots go in the Bible, the more, think about it, we're able to withstand trials, troubles, and droughts that come our way. We're in a drought, and we're in a drought spiritually. I was reading a statistic, shared it with our church 2 weeks ago, is that a third of church people have gotten out of church, and they may not return. A third of all church people, that's all denominations, a third. And they may not return. You need to stay connected, because you need it. Your church needs you. The gospel of Christ needs you. Think about this. Before Bibles came in book form, they're attached to scrolls. You know this. And the handles of these biblical scrolls were called etzheim. And that's Hebrew for tree of life. And in Proverbs 3:18, you know the verse probably. The Bible says, wisdom is a tree of life to those who lay hold upon her. So when you lay hold on the Word of God, it is your tree of life, and your roots go down deep. Colossians 2 says, as you've received Christ, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him. If you're going to be a tree, you need light. You need roots. Number three, trees are landmarks, aren't they? You can see them all over the place. Exactly. You know, I was engaged by this tree. I remember climbing this tree as a child. They're landmarks because they stand tall against their surroundings. And the godly man or woman will rise in stature and stand tall in their surroundings. And it's not that you're trying to stand tall on anybody else. It's that you, when you're a godly man, will stand out. You don't have to promote yourself. God will do that. You just be loving, humble, be a servant, even be unassuming. Don't be the one who talks the most in the room. Be humble and let God promote you. He's an example to his family, his community, his church, his vocation. His life is noticeable, compelling, and trustworthy. He'll be like a tree. Think about that. Number four, trees are living things. That's what he says, brings forth his fruit in his season. This is important to point out because just like marriages go through seasons, right? You're in a different season than when you first got married. You couldn't keep your eyes off of one another. And you wanted to be with each other as much as you could. But it's not that way anymore. It doesn't mean you don't love. It's just a different season. Sometimes there's cold seasons, right? We got one coming on. You got fall. You got spring when things take life again. And just like God's created order, spring, summer, harvest, and winter, not all of life is characterized by harvest. So you've got to not just hang on until harvest, just realize that there are different seasons of life. And if you're going to be a tree, you're living and you're receiving God's strength from the roots. Remember Jesus says, John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. You need to stay connected to me because without me you can do nothing. Number five, trees are strong in dry times. That's what the scripture says. His leaf also shall not wither. Is that a promise or is it not? Well, the godly man says, the man like a tree, his leaf will not wither. Doesn't mean he never goes through a fall. And I don't mean fall as a problem or an affair. I mean the season of fall. You go through seasons, but you're still going to be fruitful. There's still life in that tree. You think about that. I mean, we could elaborate on that, but why is that? It's because he's tapped into the source, like we see there, of God's Word, and he meditates on it. Meditation in our society means to empty your mind so you can be filled from some exterior force. Well, that's pantheistic, that's humanistic, that's satanistic. But Bible meditation means to fill up your mind with something else. And that's God's Word. You replace. Talking with a guy, just a simple thing. He goes, how do I quit vaping? Just this week. I was like, well, you know, there's many different ways. Certainly prayer. But really, you want to replace it. Replace that habit with something else. Number six, trees are unmoved by storms. They're steady, reliable, dependable, unwavering. Like a tree, the man of God is shaken at times by the wind of life, whether it happens to your children, happens to whatever. I mean, we get shaken. Amen, guys? We get shaken. But remember, you're a tree. You're not chaff, right? What is chaff? I mean, you could put 100 of them in your hand and just blow them. I mean, they've got no control of their own. But you have roots. You have strength. You are used by God. But why is it so many people even call themselves Christians seem to be like chaff? Once again, because they don't make it a priority to love God and His Word. And they neglect many different fundamental things. They're unmoved by storms. Trees provide shade for others. This is a big one. You think about it. Think about this. There's nobody you love more if you have a family than your family, your kids, your grandkids, your wife. But you, as a tree, provide security, strength, stability, shade. There's nothing better than, you know, if you can't go indoors, you're working outside, to sit under the shade, just a little escape, have something cold beverage, right? And that's what you become when you're a man of God. You provide shade for others. You think about it. Trees don't have to try to provide shade. They just do. You think about it. You know, I'm not trying to protect everybody and do everything. No, just be solid. Be steady. And people are going to run up underneath you. And it's not run up underneath us because you're up under God. You understand? I mean, that's the whole point. But if you're not a tree and you've got no limbs and you've got no fruit and you've got no leaves because you're malnourished. I shared with the church last week. I don't remember where I heard it, but think about it. We've all seen the ads for feed the babies in Africa, and just, you know, a lot of people these kids starving, you know, they're malnutrition, their bellies are out to here, and many of them just, I mean, these kids 10 years old weighs 40 pounds. You know, I mean, they're just emaciated. I mean, it's tragic, and there's food all around the planet. How does God, if He took a snapshot of you spiritually, how would you look? Would you look distended? Would you look malnutritioned? What do you mean malnutrition? Well, you feed on all these other preachers, but you're not really hearing from God. You understand? I mean, whatever, however it applies. And there's nothing wrong with preachers and messages. We need to get as much of the Word as we can. But we get a lot of, you know, we're good with poems and thoughts and little clever quips and things, but it's God's Word that nourishes us and feeds us and keeps us going. Trees provide shade for others. Trees are useful things. What do you mean by that? Well, especially the palm tree. Think about this. You might not know this, but the palm tree has over 800 different benefits. 800, just the palm tree. What was his name? George Washington Carver. He asked God to show him and open up to him the secrets of the peanut. How many remember this? And he found over 700 different uses for the lowly peanut. Much more than peanut butter. How about the death of a tree? Because the death of a tree, homes are built, bridges are built, furniture, paper, railroads, heat, musical instruments, even the cross. So trees have, even in their death, many uses. Well, you could really open this up, couldn't you? So, you know, are you a tree or are you chaff? Two more here, we'll be done. Number nine, a tree is a thing of refuge. Just like we say that, you know, it provides shade, but it also provides security from the forces of nature, predators. Birds and animals hide under the tree and its branches. Bugs and insects find a home in the tree's bark and wood. And in a similar way, we can be a source of comfort to many lost, confused, troubled, and frightened individuals. That's what they're looking for. Believe it or not, when people come to church, they want to hear from God, but they want to sense God's love.
Yep.
They do. You do too, but that's why we need to, in these doors and outside of these doors, share Christ's love. Give of what you got. Quit being stingy. Get back to letting the Lord use you and move your heart to give and help. And, you know, how do I reignite that? Well, start giving to the, I don't mean to call him a bum, but the bum on the corner. Start giving to people. Start giving back to people, whatever it is. You say, well, you know, they're a drug addict. Well, that's not for you to figure out. You just give to whoever God tells you to give to.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen? That's what we need to do. The last one. And one of the most important, trees are fruitful, growing things. They are. In their season, they bring forth his fruit in his season, God's season. And whatsoever he does will prosper. There's going to be, in a steady tree, some kind of measurable fruit over time. I remember, I've also shared this with the church many times over the years, is, you know, I got a couple comes in. And, you know, as ministers, we have this a lot, and it's our privilege. But you've got a couple, and they're at odds, and they want you to wave your magic wand and, you know, heal their marriage and fix it. And I tell them, I'm out of pixie dust, and I just can't, you know, I can't fix this for you. It's going to be God and you hearing God's word and doing this. But you hear their story, you listen to their upbringing. That's where I usually start. And, you know, how were you raised? And when did you come to Christ and this and that? And how about friends? You have a lot of friends? Are you close with your family? So you can hear from the fellow, or it doesn't really matter who, you can hear from the fellow. He says, yeah, I'm tight with my brothers, my sister, mom and dad. And man, we just had a rough going the last couple of years. When you talk to her, could be him, but you talk to her and she says, nah, you know, I don't really have any close friends back from childhood. I don't really have any, you know, girlfriends. And no, we've left many churches and this and that. You can see real quickly that the problem, by their fruit you shall know them, over time is her pattern of can't deal with people, can't deal with relationships, and keeps running away from problems instead of forgiving. And you see what I'm saying, guys? By their fruit, you're going to know them. Either having good fruit or a lack of fruit will show you real quick who really is the problem in a situation like that. It's just common sense. And so we just need to realize that the Bible promise is that when you're a tree, it's not about us, but you will have some kind of measurable fruit. Can you look back at your life and see that you've impacted somebody for Christ? The very least, your own children. And maybe not perfect like you think they should be, and not that they don't make mistakes and stray and whatever, but somebody in your life that you've impacted and that you've, and then are you still making an impact? There's still fruit that is growing. Or do you have to lean on something from 10 or 15 or 5 years ago, whatever that may be? So it's a promise, even through the tough, lean, and dry times, that you still will have fruit. It's odd to see an apple tree that's mature and not produce any apples, isn't it? Jesus says you're going to know them by their fruit. And not only is it always, I'll close with this, not only is it always outward fruit. Think about this. This is important. And you know this. You know all of this. But do we do it? That's what's important. Don't just be hearers of the word, but doers, James 4, deceiving your own selves. Inward fruit, what's that? Well, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness. You know those. So do you have inward fruit? There's estimated to be about 7,500 types of apples. Isn't that amazing? I did a study. Our oldest kids, our oldest is 26, and they wanted to be homeschooled. We never did, but then here in the last couple of years, we've homeschooled for 2 years our youngest. And then, of course, the oldest like, well, why'd you start then? Well, well, honestly, things, yeah, it's easier, but things have gotten a lot different. Nevertheless, one project I gave our two homeschool boys in high school now is just a science project. You can just think about it. We got such a creative, awesome God. And just of ants, there's something like 3,500 different species of ants. Just ants. But I said, just a little project. Come up with three different species of bugs that do not exist on this planet. Just three. You know, just as, you know, draw a picture of it and say what it'd look like. Well, there's over 300,000 different kinds of, or millions of different kinds of species of insects. You know, oh, I know that. But think about it a little deeper, what kind of creative mind it took to create all of that. That's your God. And that's who we know and who we serve. And obviously, types of trees. There's over 1,600 types of bananas alone. Trees furnish fruitful things. Plums, pears, peaches, apricots, cherries, apples, oranges. Why are you saying all that? Because the scripture says, herein was my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you prove, or so shall you be my disciples. You prove that you're one of my children by bearing fruit. And if you don't have fruit, you're not connected to the vine, but you're not really a functioning tree. Are you a tree? Simple. But it's one thing to know, it's another thing to do it. Go out of here and get on our knees. Get in your back to your closet. Get back in the Word. Shut your mouth and let your branches and the fruit speak for itself. You should know them by their fruits. Matthew 7:16. Let your light so shine before men they may see your good works. And by seeing your good works, they do what? They glorify your Father which is in heaven. I shared with our men at our prayer breakfast this last little poem. It's by Noel Smith. He was part of the Baptist Bible Fellowship for years. And I've always liked this statement, and I share it whenever I can. It's really talking about the importance of God's Word, just like Psalm 1 here. If you want to be a tree, meditate on God's Word. Just that simple. You don't have to have degrees. You don't have to have finished middle school. You've got to love God, know Christ, and you've got to have a copy of His Word. On your phone, tablet, whatever it is. Get back, shut off Facebook, shut off the TV. Get away from your hobbies and get back a little bit and get back into God's Word if you want to be a tree. Honestly, the problem with our nation, people want to put in better politicians and better laws and all this. The problem is the family. It really is. The family has been eroded. It's because men have not been men. They've not been godly. They've not been trees. Have left the family. Has decimated the home, the family, the city, the state, the nation, and really our world. And we know that, really. There's many statistics sharing. It's like 85% of teens in prisons come from fatherless homes. 85%. You can't get around those statistics. And then sometimes dads are in the home, but they're distant and they're not trees. So this last thing right here, Noel Smith said this, I really like it. He said, a man's got to face the fact that his destiny on this earth and in the world to come is determined by him. God himself will not help a man beyond a certain point. He must take himself in hand and make himself behave. Bobby was talking about that preacher. I don't mean to bring it up again. Can happen to me, can happen to you, can happen to any of us. But listen, nothing happens in public that didn't first happen in private. You thought about it. You meditated on it. You gave in your soul, and you didn't fear God and walk with God like you need to. I mean, it's you, it's me, it's whoever it is. But we've got to make sure that we are, amen, guys? Making sure we're really walking with God in our character. God himself will not help a man beyond a certain point. He must take himself in hand, make himself behave. He must force himself to swim, not allow himself to float. He must face the fact that he must have an authority for his concepts and conduct. He must face the fact that the confused and doubtful opinions of men, even good men, do not constitute that authority. Here you go. He will find the Bible to be that authority. He will find that is in proportion as he surrenders his mind, conduct, and to the clear teachings of that book, he'll feel the strong forces of spiritual, intellectual, and moral life flowing through his personality. He'll find himself becoming an integrated personality. He'll find himself becoming a whole man. You want to be a whole man. You want to be steady, solid, like people you've looked up to over the years, for whatever reason. The only guarantee we have for success is when you meditate on God's word. And you really, it's not going to be done just by sheer willpower. You have to do it by the power of God and the power of his word. Why don't you bow your heads, guys, and you just get along with the Lord. If there's something the Lord revealed to you, maybe getting back in the word, maybe being a more godly impact on your own family. When was the last time you prayed with your kids personally? Not with for dinner or whatever, but you take them aside and say, hey, I just want to pray with you. How about with your wife, your girlfriend? When was the last time you did that? You see they're struggling, you see their burden, you just want to pray with them. Are you steady? Are you abiding in Christ? These are questions we've got to ask ourselves every day of our life. Try me, O Lord, and see if there's any wicked, carnal way in me, and cleanse me. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Lord, thank you for these men. Thank you for this is not in vain. Lord, it's your plan and your divine sovereignty for men and women and children to hear your word. And Lord, whenever we hear it, we're moved and we're pushed and we're provoked and we're convicted. So Lord, I pray that you'll continue to work in these men's hearts to better their families, to better this city and this nation. Lord, we get anxious because of all the confusion and lies from the prince and power of the air that's out there. But Lord, help us to realize that you've promised us that we can be like trees as we abide in Christ and we abide in your word and in the light of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you and thank you in Jesus' name.